Cork's Red FM.
Clare were very gamey, you know, and they showed up and they tried to put it up to Cork, but I suppose even early on, the writing was on the wall. Now, it was a bit hard for Cork as well. Like, I suppose to get up there, they knew they were probably going to win in a way, but they still had to apply themselves. But, you know, they just kind of breezed through the game. I mean, it's amazing afterwards. Like, they never seemed to raise above a high level of speed or standard, but they still scored 123, which is kind of scary to think like that they can score that without even actually trying that hard, you know.
And I suppose Clare were just kind of staying with them in the first half until the Donegal Conor goal. Paddy Kelly had a big part to play in that. He's becoming really influential in the games, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's playing centre forward now, and he's very suited to the position because he's very, as we know, he's very brainy and intelligent, and he's very good at bringing other guys into the game. So it's the ideal position for a fella that has intelligence, you know, in centre forward. So he brings all the other five forwards into the game, and he brings the wing backs and the centre field and everything. So it's a great move to have him in centre forward, you know.
And it was 194 points at halftime. I suppose Cork really pushed on in the second half. Went up a few gears with Paul Kerrigan coming off the bench.
Yeah, Paul Kerrigan played very well when he came on. I mean, he came in kind of forward, but he kind of played out a bit from the foot forward, and he got on the ball a lot. He got a pint, and he made three or four points as well, you know. But they just slightly picked it up in the second half. I think Cork, you know, they were against a kind of a breeze in the second half, and they kind of felt that they'd probably pick it up a little bit, you know. So they were just able to throw it around that wheel at all stages. I mean, the two corner forwards for Clare were very good, actually. Mm. I don't know what they scored between, you know, but they scored, I think, 10 or 11 points. They probably got about 7 or 8 points between the two corner forwards. They were very gamey for them, all right. But outside that, they didn't really threaten Cork at any stage. But they tried their best, but, you know, it was a foregone conclusion, really, from after 5 or 10 minutes, or even probably before the match, I suppose, with the price of 1 to 1,000 or 1 to, was it 1 to 100?
1 to 100,
I think,
yeah.
Cork would be for it, so it was probably always going to be that way anyway, you know, the match itself.
Who would you say was the outstanding player or players for Cork today?
Like, you can say Paddy Kelly or Walsh in the middle of field was on the ball a lot. Nola Leary got an awful lot of balls, centre-back, you know, but I'd say to be somewhere between the three of them, really, would be the one of the guys that you could pick out. But, like, of the 15 that started, like, every one of them did their job, you know, so it was quite difficult to see that Norman was kind of trying to be man of the match, right, and they were all just doing their job because they knew that would be enough anyhow to win the match for them, you know, so probably the three of them would be up there, and everyone else just close to that as well, I'd say, sure.
Incident there towards the end with John Miskell and a Clare player. I think there was a headbutt thrown. Did you see what happened there?
I did. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, number 10 for Clare, I can't remember his name now, but he got his name taken in the first half, and then himself and Miskell had a little grapple with each other in the second half, and the referee came down and separated them, and he gave the Clare fella a second yellow card and a red card with it, and he just walked straight over to Miskell and headbutt him after getting it was a two yellow card incident, and now he's facing a headbutt right in front of the referee. Like, I don't know what a headbutt is. I'm not on the disciplinary committee or anything, but they can be up to 6 months. Like, it was totally silly. Like, after getting it, he walked straight over to him and headbutt him in front of everyone, you know, in front of the players, referee, the crowd and everything. He just lost the plot. And then also, of course, at the end of it, then he waves up to the crowd, and at the end of it, when they were booing him coming off, then he really drove the crowd mad in by waving up to the crowd as well at the end of it.
And Miskell went up the field and scored a point shortly after, didn't he?
Yeah, Miskell went up. He probably got the biggest share of the match then, because he went up. He did connect with Miskell, all right. I'd say he got a blood nose or something, but yeah. He was back on a minute or two later, and he went up the field and he got a pint. So that was probably the biggest share of the match, I'd say.
Waterford coming up next in Páirc Uí Chaoimh in the next round. I suppose it'll probably be a similar type of game, or it might even be even easier, do you think?
That's going to be similar. I mean, like, it reminded me today, like, of when we used to play A versus B matches below there. You know, it would be very lively and interpassing all over the place and both teams and everything. But at the end of the day, it's just lacking something because there's nothing at stake. I know there's something at stake at this, but, you know, it's hard for the team to really believe that they, you know, and without sounding arrogant here, you know, it's hard for the team to believe that they're in danger of losing to Clare or Waterford at the moment, yeah. You know. So it's just that it comes across to the player or to the supporters as a kind of a training session, and it's hard not to imagine that the next one is going to be similar enough to it, I suppose.